with the persons who make a directive. In those situations, the physicians are directed to comply with the person's wishes or transfer the person to another physician or another facility who might comply with their wishes. Regarding Section 7, there has not been a definition provided for coma. In speaking with the members of the task force and in physicians, it became clear that coma is an accepted medical term. Other terms that were discussed, persistent vegetative state, state of permanent unconscious, are not accepted terms. By using the term coma, it is meant to exclude persons in a persistent vegetative state. The way that was explained to the committee in testimony, a person in a PVS state may appear to exert, may in fact exert some physical motions and may appear to have some conscious motion. Those persons would be excluded. They would not be within the definition of coma. In Section 11, relating to insurance practices, discrimination as applies to the setting of premiums has been added. So a person would not be able, could not be discriminated for having a directive or not having a directive in the issuance of insurance or the setting of rates. Section 12 is the section that governs the punishment for concealing, destroying, or altering directives. It is a Class A felony if someone does those acts with the intent and effect of causing the withholding. And as stated in Section 12, this withholding to make it a Class A felony must hasten the death of the declarant. As stated, it is unclear whether, if the death was not hastened, whether this would be an attempted crime. And what I suggested to the committee in the memo is that the committee may wish to establish a lesser crime where the withholding is intended and effected, but for one reason or another, death is not hastened by the action, or a prosecutor was not able to show a link between the withholding and the hastening of death. One additional major issue that was discussed in the testimony that is not reflected in these amendments is the issue of an exception for pregnant women. The task force members did not feel comfortable in recommending an amendment to this committee because there was no actual decision made by the task force during its deliberations. What I have given to the committee in the memo is an amendment that is derived from the Uniform Act, and it states that the directive of a qualified patient known to the attending physician to be pregnant must not be given effect as long as it is probable that the fetus could develop to the point of live birth with continued application of life-sustaining treatment. This same amendment could be applied to persons in Section 6 or a Section 7 category. Section 6 are persons who are incapacitated without a directive, and Section 7 are comatose. As to that particular amendment, I had asked Dr. Stemfel, who had testified in opposition to the bill, and that particular amendment satisfied his concerns as to this problem. An amendment like this or of this sort has been provided in most of the states that have living will laws.
All right. Now, Senator Riles, is it your preference that these amendments be adopted by this committee? All right. Anyway, does the committee want to discuss these amendments? What do you want to do with them?
Well, I guess I don't want to do anything differently. I do think that if, for my purposes, I'd like to include the pregnancy exemption just to have it printed in, included. But that goes beyond the task force, and that, and I don't. Otherwise, I think we ought to have them printed and have people have a chance with them that they're too much change. There's too much interest in the bill to not have it finally in some form that people can look at.
All Well, then Senator Cohen moves that amendments LC 19 be incorporated as a part of the bill, and the bill as amended be printed. Is there any discussion on that?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wires.
Well, I'm not eager to rush into anything. Right after the hearing, I was urged not to move to table this during the hearing. I guess I was urged that between the first day and the second day of the hearing, and I didn't ask to move to table. I thought that would have been inconsiderate and harsh and so on. But I am concerned about, I haven't asked how many bills we have here, but large numbers are bantied about. We just had one bill that there's been a big struggle about. I don't have any necessary concern about the idea of printing a bill. I haven't really compared this draft carefully enough with Senate Bill 20 yet to know whether, but I do know that someone will say, if when we get that printed, now you've really got something that's very different. We need to have extensive additional hearings. Unless we're now going to just say, okay, now we're going to push this bill out. If we're going to do that, then we probably ought to start talking about it. It's my impression that this bill has a lot of people who are resisting it strongly. And it's always one solution just to shove the bill on out to the floor and let the floor make the decision. I don't know if I'm almost finished. That's not going to be something that's going to terribly upset me, but I know sometimes people in the full body want to know why the people in the committee didn't thrash it out. And if we're going to thrash it out, I suspect we'll need to reschedule this at least once or twice more. And I just—that's what I want to say. I have some concerns.
My motion, or my—I think it certainly didn't include pushing it out on the floor or having additional hearings. I just think the staff has—we've had a lot of testimony. We've had people who offered suggestions in good faith. I think. Yeah, I think that it's, and you've had a group of people who've worked on this issue, people who followed it and have been concerned and raised their concerns, and I think they ought to at least have some opportunity to look at something in print after all this, including the staff time invested, and that's my purpose. It is not to make any kind of judgments for anybody, to take anybody's ability to move the table at some time. If it ever gets raised again, I'm not really making any judgments at all about it. My purpose is just to allow them to get in printed form and to at least put in some form that people can request the amendments that have been suggested.
Further discussion on Senator Cohen's motion. Further discussion on Senator Cohen's motion. Senator Wires.
What would be the further advantage to having this printed? Our understanding of it, this is now a fully typed up new bill. Is the idea so it can be circulated as A, engrossed and to the public? Is that the advantage of getting it printed? Or
I would think so.
Mr. Chair.
I think you have a task force that's worked for 2 years on this, and I would give them a courtesy to allow them to at least have a what they consider a final product that they want to either discuss with themselves or look at or hold in their hands or do whatever they want to do, and any member who is critical of it can also be criticized in or out or around this body without it being something other than what the amendments that are desired, and I'm willing to do that as a courtesy.
Senator Brennan?
I have strong objections to portions in the bill and portions of the amendments. You may have it printed if you like. The committee chooses. I just wish to be made that those opinions of mine known, I guess, in advance.
All right. Any, is there any objection to Senator Cohen's motion? All right, it's so ordered.
Could we still have it printed if we tabled it today? We've now passed that motion. It's going to be printed. I'm not necessarily all that eager to table it today. I guess what I'm trying to get at is we've now decided to print it, but it's my understanding this is a high priority by some people to pass this. It isn't that they just want to get it printed. And I don't know. I guess we can talk later about how much time we're going to spend on it. But,
we've now spent 10 minutes more than was necessary, right?
Well,
now.
But when are we going to have the discussion about the bill?
Well, that's going to be a part of the chairman's job, I suppose, to decide whether this bill comes on for any further hearings or not. And I expect to utilize my responsibilities or pursue my responsibilities. Anything further on Senate Bill 20? All right.
Mr. Chairman,
Council.
Committee, just to clarify Senator Cohen's motion, did the motion include the replacement of the word without on
yes.
page
it
6,
did.
Line 13? And for further clarification, it did not include any language regarding a pregnancy exception.
It did
include that. Okay. And so to clarify the motion, the exception that's drafted on page 3 of my memo applies it to situations just because this was the language I chose to persons with directives. Is it the intent?
It's just fine.
I need to know whether it's the intent of the motion that this be applied to all, that is the exception applied to all persons, whether they have a directive or not.
All right. Senator Cohen indicates in the affirmative. Is that everybody's understanding of it, the way she presented it? That, is there anybody who wants to raise any objection? All right. Then that's so ordered. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 20 and go to the work session on Senate Bill 21. Council.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, beginning on page 3 of the memo, I discussed briefly the changes that have been made in Senate Bill 21. We're now looking at Legislative Council draft 204-2, dated April 1st, 1987. In Section 1, the definition of directive has been given the same definition as in Senate Bill 20. For the purposes of the record, the draft we're speaking of is Senate Bill, the draft 21-6, dated 4-1-87. Section 2 has made a change in requiring that the attorney, in fact, be a competent adult rather than any person. Section 3 of the bill requires that a power of attorney executed in this state meet the requirements of Section 3. Later on, the bill discusses that powers of attorney executed in other states are valid if they're valid in those other states. To address another objection raised in the testimony, the witnesses also must be adults. That's on page 3, line 18 of the bill. Section 5 of the bill reflects a change to give the principal the opportunity to withdraw if the person is in, if the principal is incapacitated. Under the printed bill, the principal, the attorney, in fact, could not withdraw if the person was incapacitated. The amendment would give the attorney, in fact, the opportunity to withdraw by giving notice to the attending physician. Section 8 of the bill has been clarified to indicate clearly what the powers of the attorney, in fact, are. And the powers of the attorney, in fact, are the powers that the principal would have if the principal was not incapacitated. This means, regardless of what this committee or any change in the law is with regard to the withdrawing of life-sustaining procedures, the attorney, in fact, would be limited to doing what the principal could do. And if the principal can't withdraw life-sustaining procedures in a particular situation, then neither could the attorney, in fact. On page 8, line 20 of the bill, we have added a section to relieve the attorney, in fact, from financial responsibility for the principal's health care costs. This was a suggestion made in the testimony, and this is consistent with the law governing guardianship and conservators. Section 11, on page 11, line 4, the attorney, in fact, is given the same immunity for actions taken in good faith pursuant to the power of attorney as physicians in this bill, and similar to the immunity that is provided to physicians in Senate Bill 20. This was also repeatedly raised during the testimony. Section 13 of the bill has been amended to prohibit the attorney, in fact, from interfering with health care providers in emergency situations. And Section 14 of the bill tracks in the same respects the crimes and penalties for forgery and alteration as those provided in Senate Bill 20. The only other point I wanted to make clear is that this bill, as I read it, the bills were joined for the purpose of hearing and testimony because they have concepts that related, but they do not, as of now, refer to each other, and this bill, action on this bill can be taken without effect on Senate Bill 20 and vice versa. That is, it stands or falls on its own merit.
Regarding the amendments dash 6, what's be open to comments or questions or discussion on those?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll move the amendments again for the same, and I don't know how interested you are in the bill. I just think for amendment purposes, I'd move them so we get it in check.
Senator Cohen moves the dash 6 amendments. Discussion now?
Senator Wires. Making it a Class A felony to Section 14. What kind of felony was it under the printed bill?
It was also a Class A felony. I believe if, in fact, it was also a Class A felony. And it also included the element that death of the principal be hastened.
Be what?
That the effect of it must be to hasten the death of the principal, the forgery or alteration of the power of attorney.
Do we have any current law in that area, or is it?
To my understanding, even without this language, one could be prosecuted under the murder statutes, but this makes some further law in the area. This section, however, tracks the crime and penalty sections of existing law under ORS 97 with regard to the forgery, revocation, alteration, destruction of directives. It is also a Class A felony under ORS 97 with respect to directives. The issue that's raised is the hastening of the death of the principal. I might add that both the forgery of a directive and the forgery of a power of attorney could be prosecuted under current forgery laws as a Class C felony without the additional elements of causing the withholding and hastening the death of the principal. That would be at the election of the prosecutor.
Is there any objection to these amendments? Are adopted. Does anyone have any other amendments to be suggested to Senate Bill 21?
It was part of the motion to adopt the amendments to have them printed like in 20, or is that?
I'm treating Senate Bill 21 as a I hope to dispose of Senate Bill 21 in this committee today. For some reason, showing why we need
delay it further. Well, all right. Well, Chair moves Senate Bill 21 to, as amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I'll hear from discussion on that. Senator Cohen, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm not sure I'm prepared to move it today.
Okay. I put the motion on the table so we could discuss what to do with it.
Yeah, well, I'm...
What do folks want to do with this now that we've adopted these amendments? Do you want to just have the bill printed and bring it back later?
Sure.
Is that what you want to do? I'll withdraw my motion then. And so the motion should be then to print the amendments -6 to Senate Bill 21. Is that...
Well, I made a motion to amend the bill.
Yeah, right. You did that.
That's do whatever.
All right, then the chair will move that the amendments as adopted be printed and Senate Bill 21 be engrossed to include these amendments. Is there any objection to that? The motion was to print an engrossed bill incorporating these amendments. Any objection to that? Okay, that's so ordered. Anything further on Senate Bill 21? Anything further, period? We're adjourned.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate President Kitzhoffer has asked that some testimony submitted in written form that the committee has be included in the record on Senate Bills 20 and 21.
Make sure you are. Green flag. Okay. Thank you, members.
We have something.